Good morning and welcome to worship this morning here at Emmanuel. If you're visiting with us this morning, a very special warm welcome to you. We have, for your information, you may see in your bulletin, we offer congratulations and God's blessing to Samantha Runefeld, who has a birthday on Thursday, and Jacob London has a birthday on Friday, and Wilma Verhol has a birthday next Sunday. So, very special day for you, and we just ask for God's richest blessing on your day as you celebrate with family and friends. Let us quiet our hearts as we come before God. Oh God, we give you thanks for the persistence of your presence. You forgive us when we imagine that to be impossible. You enter our lives where we consider implausible. You join us in our joys. You encourage our fulfillment. You call forth our best while loving us without condition. You heal our hurts. You restore our souls. So much you've given us already, and yet as we enter into worship, we do not hesitate to ask for one more thing this morning. Give us, loving God, the gratitude within our hearts that runs deep appreciation into genuine praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship the Lord, our light and salvation. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in His holy temple. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Let us come before God in a time of silent confession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us lift up our voices as we sing, I will sing the mighty power of God. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and the righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. What is the aim of the 10th commandment? But can those who can be converted to God obey these commands perfectly? Let us come before God in a time of prayer. Almighty, gracious Father, in the presence of all you have given us, in the presence of your love, in the presence of your blessings, Father, we pray this morning that you will keep us humble. In the presence of all the needs, Father, of people that we see throughout the week, make us compassionate and caring. Father, we pray for a faith in our praying and a love in our serving. We know that by your power, Father, that we need to find that balance in living our lives with a new victory in face of the adversity. Father, this morning as we think of all those who are struggling, all those who are facing difficult times, Father, those who are just living unhappy lives, there are those, Father, who are bitter and resentful. There are those who feel that life has given them a raw deal. They're quick to criticize, quick to take offense. There are those, O Lord, who desire their own ways, whatever the inconvenience or cost to others. May your judgment and mercy, Father, be there in their healing. We pray this morning for those who are lonely, who are shy, who are self-conscious. And Father, as we think of that, we think of young people who are heading off to college and university, perhaps for their first time or perhaps for the next time as they're packing up ready to go. We pray for those who find it hard to make friends, who are nervous and timid, who feel themselves, Father, as strangers in a world they can hardly understand. May your presence in their lives inspire confidence and ensure companionship. Father, we pray this morning for those who live with bitter regrets, for opportunities given in their life and yet they woefully abuse them, for the bitterness of defeat, for the betrayal at another's hand. Father, it is your grace that gives us new hope to find victory in the very scenes of failure in our lives. And so we thank you for that. We pray this morning, O Lord, for those, for all illnesses and pain, for those who are struggling with aging, for those who are struggling with just the daily pain, each day is dreary. Father, we pray for those who are weary of the day and fearful of the night. Father, we just ask for healing, if it be your will. And at all times, through the faith, the gift of your indwelling grace. Father, we pray for the church here at Emmanuel. We pray as they're seeking a pastor, they're seeking someone to lead, to bring your word. Father, we ask for a blessing, not only in this church here, but the churches in the community, the churches throughout the greater country, the churches throughout the land. Father, we pray that the church is eager for worship, that it'll be fearless in the proclamation of the gospel, that it will be passionate in caring and loving one another. Father, we ask for a blessing on our leaders, church leaders, leaders of our country. Continue to bless our country, O God. Bless our children, Father. Continue to grant us peace and security within our borders. Father, we think of those, even though we've prayed for them before, those in Beirut who are seeking to rebuild their lives in the midst of a terrible tragedy. Father, it's not only Beirut, but there are other countries throughout the world. There are other people who are being so persecuted, so abused, so taken advantage of. Father, there's so much starvation, there's so much need, there's so much want to hear your word, to know your word, Father. So, Father, we pray that as we support many charities, as we support many Christian organizations, may we give out of a love of Jesus, not out of a sense of obligation. Father, we pray this morning for those countries. We think especially of our neighbors to the south who are just being absolutely devastated with COVID-19. Father, we pray for wisdom in their leadership that they may be the example, that they may lead effectively, that this too will come under control, Father. We thank you for what our government and our leaders and our health officials have done, Father, to help us keep it under control here. But may we never take it lightly. May we be vigilant and dutiful in doing what we're called to do to keep this virus at bay. Father, we pray for government. We pray for the government and teachers as they're working out the plan, struggling as to what it looks like for the school in the fall. Father, it's in a few weeks away, and yet so many questions are unanswered. So we pray for your heavenly intervention of wisdom and grace that this goes well as we seek to send our most precious back to school. So, Father, it is our prayer that you are glorified here this morning in our worship. Though we're small, Father, you are so grand. Help us to nevertheless magnify your name. Help us to make your name and the nature of your grace larger and easier for people to see. Help us to live and worship in a way that people, that neighbors, friends, family, they can see you into the focus in the ways that they have not seen before. And so we pray, O God, that you will give us the words to answer to the question, why do we have such hope? Give us the words to reply to the echo of the sweetness, O God, of your gospel. Help us to magnify your name. And as we lift up to you the words of the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us respond by singing Like a River Glorious. Thank you. Scripture reading this morning comes to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And as we continue to work through this passage of Scripture, it becomes more familiar to us. And I would imagine in the next few weeks, we won't need to open our Bibles to read it. We may have it memorized by then. Scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Before we read God's holy word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful for your holy word. And so, Father, we ask that you guide us by your Spirit and word, that in your light, Father, we may see light, that we may never look at your scripture as just a story and read it and not grow from it. Father, we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will make these words come alive for us. Make these words so that, Father, we may live for your glory. And Father, may we find freedom as we do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the evil, spiritual evil forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Amen. I usually like to begin my message with a little story and try and have it so that you can see how it ties in to the passage of Scripture that I've been working with. And I'd like to begin with this little story that I had read, and I found it quite humorous. And it goes on like this. This gentleman says, "I sat watching night after night. They weren't going to do this to me a second time. You see, we were a new family," he said, "that moved into the neighborhood. And we heard that the local kids, they were up to something. I really think that the adults were part of it as well as maybe a way of welcoming us as new people into the neighborhood. I've heard rumors of a teepee raid. If you're not sure what this is," he said, "young people will sneak up to your house in the middle of the night. And they'll take rolls of toilet paper and they will cover your trees. They will throw them up in the trees and bushes. And eventually you'll have hundreds of these streamers on your trees blowing in the wind." He said, "I was going to be ready. I sat up after everyone else had gone to bed and I waited. At approximately 2 a.m, the dog began to bark. I peeked out the windows and I saw the attackers. I waited until they were involved in their dastardly deed and then I went out of the house screaming at the top of my lungs." He said, "They ran in every direction. But I was an older gentleman," he said, "so what I did was I focused on the slower runner. I took off down after the street after them and caught one and invited him back into my yard to clean up. And it was then I suddenly became aware of the intense pain in my feet. in my hurry to rush out the door, I'd forgotten to put on my shoes. I ran down the street barefooted, embedding pea-sized pieces of gravel into the soles of my feet. I limped for 2 weeks after the event. Everyone in town snickered at the new guy limping as I went about doing my daily business. There's plenty of places you don't want to go without proper footwear. In construction, you wear work boots. If you milk cows, you better wear work boots. I have multiple broken toes over the years trying to be cheap and save a few bucks and getting work boots that didn't have steel toes. I understand there was a farmer in the area and he liked to milk cows in his bare feet. I would imagine he wouldn't have many toes left. I think our teachers and our doctors and our nurses understand the importance of good footwear, how important it is that it keeps your posture. At the end of the day, if you are standing on your feet all day, any one of us, I think it helps keep our balance as we get older. Proper footwear. You cannot underestimate the value of good footwear. It helps with muscle pain, the alignment of your spine, the list goes on and on. And granted, in some cultures, the soles of some people are like leather as they go barefooted everywhere. But it's our custom in the West that serves as the example of Ephesians 6:15. You don't want to sprint barefoot down the street at night, and neither do you want to walk into spiritual warfare without the proper footwear, the shoes of the gospel of peace. In some cultures, if you like to study history, you go back and you see that some warriors would like to fight barefooted. But the Romans did not. They were Paul's model for his warfare wardrobe. Any soldier in our military today would be in serious disadvantage without proper footwear. In fact, it would be not long before that our soldier would become a casualty. But the Roman soldier's shoes, they were not an ordinary kind of shoe. They were a shoe that was made out of brass or bronze, and it was usually brass. The shoes were primarily composed of two parts. I don't have a picture of that, but they would call it the greave. And that was the part that would just fit underneath the knee and work its way down to the ankle. And then the other part would have been the shoe itself. These shoes, as this example may show here, had the greave up to the top, would become more of a weapon than anything. They were dangerous to any foe. The greave, as I said, was this beautiful piece of tooled metal. And it was like a piece of metal that looked like they were brass. It was almost like you were having a high boot on, but it was ornately decorated. The shoe itself then would be made of two pieces of metal, the top and bottom. The shoes were held together with pieces of durable leather. But on the bottom of these shoes, there was incredibly dangerous spikes. They were sharp. Sometimes the shoes would have spikes up to 3 inches long. If you were involved in any active combat and somebody was kicking and carrying on, your spikes being 3 inches long, these shoes could inflict a lot of damage. So what are the shoes now that a Christian wears? Paul says that the shoes are the gospel of peace. And since gospel means good news, then we wear the shoes of the good news of gospel of peace. When you and I have the peace of God, then we have the peace within ourselves. As I've said before, Satan seeks to destroy the peace in your life. He wants to destroy the peace that you have with God and the peace the men and women have with God. He wants to destroy the peace that you have with one another. And when this happens, when Satan grabs hold of your heart, you have no peace in your heart. We see the relationship of the shoes to the armor. In this sermon series that we've been working on, we have already established of the spiritual armor of God that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He is our armor. It is in His righteousness, His truth, His salvation. It is His word that protects us from the enemy. We've put on our spiritual armor by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are nothing against the power of Satan. Without Christ, we would be overwhelmed. We would be absolutely consumed in a second. But with Christ, He is our armor, and we are protected by Him. The shoes guard us wherever we go, and in Christ, wherever we go in peace. We're not trying to prove ourselves to God, because He's already declared that the peace has been established between Him and those who are in Christ. Ephesians 2:14. Romans 5:1 tells us, since we have been justified in Christ, we have peace with God. That once was kept away from us from God was our sin has been taken away and washed clean by the blood of Christ. John 1:21 tells us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who pleads our case, who defends us against the accusations of the evil one. As a result of all these good truths, our path is protected by the good news of the peace. Not just now, but wherever you go. In England, during the dark days of World War II, London was being bombed relentlessly. Londoners gathered in the shelters to try and ride out the storm, night after night. And the one thing that carried them through was the voice of Winston Churchill. As England's leader, he came on the radio and he encouraged the people to remain strong. Fear would flee and courage in their lives was to be renewed. England, of course, you all know, eventually survived, and thanks in no small part to the voice of Winston Churchill. His voice on the radio was building up the courage of the people. And brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is what Jesus does to each of us day after day. In the midst of our battles and in the midst of our struggles and in the midst of whatever life throws at us, He comes to us and He speaks to us words of peace and truth. He reminds us that He is with us. No matter what happens, no matter where we are, He will never leave us or forsake us. He reminds us that we have peace with God, that He has overcome the world, and that we can do all things through Him and His strength. Someone once said that the Lord would rather have one person committed 100% than 100 people committed 75%. Being committed 100% to the Word of God is what gives us peace in the spiritual warfare. And that is the relationship of the shoes of the armor. The requirement of the shoes for the armor. And it's Jesus who said in Luke 21:26 that at the end of man's age, man's hearts would be failing them with fear of what was about to come upon the earth. And sometimes if you look at it from the perspective of what's going on in the world today, if you think of the things that's good enough to make the news, there are so many things that are happening in the world today, it doesn't make the news. You can search the internet and you can Google shootings in Minnesota, and you may find that there was 3 or 4 shootings in Minnesota that didn't even make the news here in Canada, let alone the news in the States. What about what's happening in countries that don't have that type of access to the news, what's going on? We don't know what's happening in, and I'm throwing it out there, Somalia, Iran, Iraq, whatever's going on. Major news sells time, but we don't hear what's happening so often. I haven't seen the statistics lately, and I once heard that Valium was the most prescribed medicine in North America. And if people took it then, think about how much more has gone on in the last few years in the world and how much more, well, I guess it's Xanax today, but how much more is being prescribed for people just to be able to get through the day, to live one day at a time. Seriously, we have a really big problem in society. We really do. How many people live without peace in their lives? You would be surprised. And we need to ask ourselves this question then. How can we, you and I, minister to them if we don't have peace in our hearts? We cannot extend to others what we don't have ourselves. There's reasons for the shoes as armor, and I would like to read from Matthew 6 this morning, where we'll find five reasons why without shoes that we are unprepared for spiritual warfare. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you, not that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Verse 25 says, therefore, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or drink? Or about your body, what will you wear? Is life not more than food and body than clothes? I think the last question is a little sarcastic, perhaps a rhetorical question. If we're not grateful for God's daily provisions in our life, demonstrated by our fear of the future, then we are not living in peace. Being grateful for what God has provided you daily is the basis of peace that we are to have in our hearts for the future. We cannot go into the battle for the Lord if we can't trust Him in the day-to-day things. Without shoes, you're unreasonable. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Look at it this way. What God does for the lesser parts compared to humans, His crown of creation, should serve as an encouragement for what He has prepared for each one of us. Jesus said the birds don't sow or reap, and yet they eat every day. It's unreasonable for us to think that God would care for little birds of the air and not those who have been created in His image. Follow that logic. You will have peace in your heart. If you know that God cares for the birds of the air, He will definitely care so much more for you and I. And it's that peace that you have in knowing that God loves you, that God cares for you. We compare it now, without shoes, you're unproductive. And in verse 27, Jesus asks, can any one of you worrying by adding, will add a single hour to your life? Jesus' point is that worrying changes nothing. It has been a really hot, dry summer, and I have been worrying about whether we are going to have enough feed for our cattle, whether our corn is going to make a crop, and all the worrying I have done didn't make it get any taller or any bigger, or no more hay showed up on our farm. Jesus says, worrying changes nothing. I've discovered that 80% of the things that I worry about in my life, you know, the what ifs, the maybes, they never happen. And if we could all just channel that other 20%, we really could set the world on notice as Christians that we're not worrying, we're trusting in God. Worrying doesn't do you nor me any good at all. And if we spend our time worrying, then we negate our ability to have impact on other people's lives. If we have God's peace in our heart of the past, the present, looking forward into the future, we will free ourselves up to be able to help others. When we are bound up in our fears and worries in our life, we become so unproductive. It's a waste of our time, and we fail then to use the gifts that God has given each of us. Without shoes, you're unchristian. And verses 31 and 32 makes a pretty strong statement about those who spend their time worrying instead of living in peace. So do not worry about what we should eat or what we should drink or what we should wear, for the pagans run after these things. If we spend our lives living in worry, then we're living as a non-Christian, as a pagan from the Jewish point of view from which Christ spoke, as people who have no God to meet their needs. There are those who do not know that God's who do not know of God spend their life seeking security in money and the things that happiness and anything that it can provide. I get it. We need money to survive in today's economy. But the material things of life are not the basis of peace in our lives. If we act like those who are without God, we act like unchristian. Without our shoes of peace on, you and I look like the rest of the world. Without our shoes of peace on, you and I look like the rest of the world. Verses 33 and 34 contain the well-known admonition to seek ye first the kingdom of God, but seek first his kingdom and righteousness of all things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble of its own. If we go into the spiritual battle without peace in our hearts, we are unprepared, and each day we face, we will suffer more defeat. James Proctor once wrote a song that says, I've tried in vain 1,000 ways my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. The only preparation we need to quell our fears and raise our hopes is to prepare our feet for the gospel of Jesus' peace. I don't know if you know anybody who's in the military, but if soldiers were on the verge of battle and they were too upset about the affairs back home, he would be useless to his army. He would be taken out of the battle before they went into battle, and he'd be either sent to the hospital or he'd be sent home. And it's the same with each one of us. We must be prepared and effective, and if we do not have confidence that it is our Lord Jesus Christ who is leading us into battle, then we will be no use when the battle ensues. the requisitioning of shoes for the battle. And if you're in the military, and I know a couple of young guys from Hope Church that are in the military, Derek Durwater and Quentin Stender, and they'll tell you that the requisition for the armament you need before battle is incredibly important to make sure you have all your stuff, Derek said to me, ready to go. So I'd like to use that term to illustrate how we get our shoes of peace. To get your shoes of peace, you need to meet the author. Do you know who the author of peace is? Here's how the Bible describes him in 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Hebrews 13:20 calls him the God of peace. Philippians 4:9, the God of peace be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, many of the God of peace himself will sanctify you completely. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every heart, in every way. When you need the shoes of peace to add to your spiritual armor, you go to the God of peace. The Bible says those who are without Christ are the enemies of God in Romans 5:10 and James 4:4. That doesn't mean that those who are non-Christians are angry at God. It just means that the sin problem that we have, our rebellion against God, is an offense in our lives, and that is something we must deal with. When you come to Christ, when you bow at the cross, when you're on your knees, he takes away that sin. And with the sin, the enmity between us and God. When there is peace in our hearts, when there is peace with God, we get our shoes of peace for us to wear into the world. Meditate upon the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed with you because he trusts you. The Hebrew text is telling us peace, peace. It's like saying Song of Songs or King of Kings. It's the best peace that we could ever imagine. The peace of all pieces. We maintain our peace on an ongoing basis by meditating on the person and the promises of Jesus Christ. If we stay focused on Christ rather than on the disruptions in the world around us, we will maintain our peace. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, manifest the spirit of peace in your life. One aspect of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is peace. Galatians 5:22 says, and if the way we manifest that peace is exercising our trust in God in the middle of our difficult circumstances. Matthew 8:26 tells us that faith is the opposite of fear. So if we maintain that sense of calm, the quietness in our life, the peace, when there is a turmoil going on around us, we are manifesting the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. We're filled with the Spirit daily by confessing our sins. And we invite the Spirit to take control of our life, our mind, our will, our emotions. Ephesians 5:18 says we ask the Spirit to manifest the life of Christ through us. In Galatians 2:20, so that our response to life may be His response through us. How do we do that? You do it as often as necessary in your life to maintain the peace of God in your life. I would encourage you to meditate on and memorize the word of peace. Memorizing the word of God so you're able to memorize that word so that when that's the most single important way to maintain peace of God in your life. The psalmist says to us in Psalm 119 verse 165, great peace have those who love your law and nothing causes them to stumble. The peace that Paul promises us, each of us through this passage of scripture today, will be ours. and it will cause you to be an anomaly in the world today. It's something the world can't explain. Your peace will be a peace that passes all understanding. You will have the same circumstances. Our circumstances aren't any different than anybody else's in the world today. But you have a peace that's different. Your peace is the protection and presence of God in your life in spite of what happens. For all of us, it can be different. In some cases, all of us are going to go through struggles. Some of the struggles we're going to go through are going to be different. But as you and I go through life, we are going to go through with the gospel of the shoes, with the gospel of peace, with the good news of peace you have in your life. That is a constant that you will have, and it only comes from the relationship that you and I have with Jesus Christ. We are living the greatest story of all creation. We're knowing the love of God in a way that changes how we live, and some days we act like we're carrying the heaviest load ever. It's the greatest news ever, and that greatest news must be shared with non-believers. Someone once said, if I played hockey with Wayne Gretzky, I would tell everyone in the whole wide world. And yet we have a Savior who took upon all our sins, who died and rose for us, took our place so we so greatly deserve, and yet we carry on in life like it's no big deal. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. I understand trying to explain it to a non-believer can be difficult. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not receive the thing of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him, nor can they know him because they are spiritually discerned. God's peace is available to all those who know the Lord, and that is our call to live out the Great Commission. It's not knowing him at salvation that matters. It's continuing to know him deeper and deeper. Feeding on the minds of what is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And imitating those who are living prayerful lives of peace. That peace, the shoes of gospel of peace, requires conscious choices of each of us every day. To screen out that which will induce fear and worry. Take that out of your life. Seek Christ who gives you peace. The peace of God will be with you. Are your feet shod with the good news of God's peace? If they are, then you are living a victorious spiritual warfare and at the peace of all God's will in your life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the one who have come to make all things new, to celebrate broken things, to bring new creation delight from old creation decay. Your death on the cross was the ultimate sowing of peace, and as you died, you took the judgment we so deserved. Our labors are in you, Jesus, are not in vain. Because of you, we can and we must live in this peace of the gospel. In our struggles, in our strife, may we walk with joy in knowing that what is will not be as so as we walk, knowing we have the peace that passes all understanding. Fill our lives with that peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for the blessing. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you prepare to leave this place, hear now God's invitation to a life of Christian discipleship. Lead a life worthy of calling to which you've been called, with all gentleness, humility, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as we are called to one hope in our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Receive the blessing. May the love of God surround you, the wisdom of Christ guide you, and the power of the Holy Spirit encourage you as you joyfully serve Him in the days ahead. And may the joy and peace of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be your strength. Amen.